Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, February 17th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 79, the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. Through one paragraph ending, if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am," we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Patricia C., 12 Traditions, Tanya P. Readers of the text, Becca R. and Deanne F. The reference number for Sunday, February 16th, is 22,171. And for this morning, Monday, February 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,172. That's 22172. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Patricia C. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
This is Patricia C. Thank you so much from North Carolina. Sorry. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step six, step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia C. I'll now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 79, that second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. Through one paragraph ending, if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am," commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Wendy M. to read and then share with us.
Yeah, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Don, for your service. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." All right. In all transparency, when I read this last night, I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about. But I think I have a sneaking suspicion at this point. So this is about amends, right? And it's about amends that we make, and that in the sense that we don't harm other people when we're making these amends, right? And I wrote my note is, but I'm nice. I don't harm people. I've never harmed anyone. I'm the nice person, right? And I want life to be easy. Well, it turns out when we do this work, we find out we're not always the nice person. Sometimes we do harm. In fact, we do a lot of harm, right? And so this is saying we don't get to use our amends to harm people. So this is all about motive. When I went to talk to my ex-husband, I could have said to him, and this is why we're going to end the relationship, I could have said things that were harmful, but I knew not to do that. Sometimes it's like, let me just get this off my chest, okay? Or I want to be super honest with you. Like when people come and do that to me, I want to be super honest. I'm like, no, no, no. What are your motives, right? Like I want to get this off my chest. Did my ex-husband know? What I would have said to him would have been cruel. There would have been no reason to say these things, right? Where was my real amends with my ex-husband? It was in the alimony, in the money that I give him. Literally, it was the day before we signed the marital agreement, and the my attorney said, it looks like your income like tripled today, and we have to tell him so that you give him a boatload more money. And you know what? I have a program that says, here I am. Here I am. Yeah. I have to own up to who I am and what I owe this man in divorcing him, you know? And there was a pinch. There was a pinch. But you know what, you guys? Here's the deal. When we're asked to do that, to say, here I am, this is the brilliant, brilliant part of the program. We get closer to God. I got honest with my income adjustment, and I got a chance to get closer to God. That's what we're doing here. When we make the amends for good reason, not harmful reasons, right, we're serving God. We're getting closer to God. And I get to be useful when I'm closer to God. Because that's what this whole thing is about. This is a spiritual experience. The fact that I didn't say X, Y, and Z to my ex-husband because it was cruel, that's a spiritual moment. And when they said, Wendy, you owe him triple, that's a spiritual experience. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy M., for getting us started. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Malka S.
Was that Micah S?
Malka.
Oh, Malka S. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Amy K. in Virginia.
Amy K. Who else would like to share? Press star one. Okay, we'll start with those three. I have Malka S., Deborah D., and Amy K. Malka, please go ahead, get us started, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi everyone. This is Malka S., greatly recovered in Mexico. Hi. It's like my heart was pounding a little bit. I got a little nervous. It's so interesting. Going through the amends process with my sponsor in the beginning, like when I first went through it, I felt that I covered everything. And it's amazing having these big book studies where we're going, like we go through each paragraph a little more in depth, and everybody gives their amazing shares. And I'm starting to realize that there's a very, very, very large amends that I need to make. And it's very interesting because, and I really relate to this paragraph because it doesn't just involve me. It also involves my husband. And it's not something that I can just go ahead and do without doing it together with him. And so you know, going through this process, that in itself is challenging because I want to be free. I want to be free from this. I want to make this amends and get closer to God and move on and have just continue to have trust and have just rely on my higher power and just, you know, continue to live in these steps because I see the results that it feels a little bit like a lifeline for me. But I can't go ahead and make this amends without my husband, because it's just this specific situation. Otherwise, it could be very harmful for him. So it's a kind of like a tricky line to walk, but I'm just walking with a lot of faith and a lot of trust, and knowing that when the time comes, and the right time will come, and that I strive for spiritual progress, is not spiritual perfection. I wanted to share that today. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Melka S. from Mexico. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Amy K.
Thank you so much, Dawn, again, for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And what was coming up for me now is, because I know when I was making those amends, my thoughts were freedom, freedom, freedom. And I didn't want to go back to another addiction and other programs or back to the food again. And I like how it says, not to be hasty and foolish, martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. So I don't want to, have to make further amends or doing something that's, harmful again to somebody else. And I love how I can do these steps, the amends, with God and with my sponsor. I've always done my amends work with a sponsor when I'm doing my step work. And because they can see things more clearly than I can. I'm wanting to get closer to God and asking God and just, having that time. I know God is revealed over time, and not being so quick to do something. That's been, one of my things, quick to do something and then having to make an amends. Anyways, in my other program, I can share where I was in the throes of this addiction, and I had many affairs with married men. And it was pointed out to me that I don't want to go to the wives of these married men and make an amends. It's really good to have somebody to help to see the reality of things. And I'm just so grateful for amends, because there is a freedom in doing them and doing them the way that God wants me to do them, not the way that I want to do them. There's that selfishness again. So anyways, thank you. Thank you all for your shares today and 12-stepping me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Amy K., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking a list of more names. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 79 today. On that second paragraph, it starts with, usually, however, other people are involved, through one paragraph ending, if he had walked up to the judge and said, here I am. So Amy K., please share.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amy K. in Virginia. 2 years ago, my boss and his new wife confronted me about my expense account. My expense account that I had abused for many years. And the new wife, who had been invited to participate more in the business, had gone through our finances, and she didn't see it as abusing the expense account. She saw it as embezzling. And they confronted me. The amount that they had determined was almost $50,000, and I was absolutely shocked to be confronted this way. And I wanted to fight back. I wanted to say, but you see everything I spend. You do. But I knew that my boss was, as a much older man, wanting to bring this woman he loved into the business, wanting to to have her participate in something that mattered to him, and this was the first thing she had done. And the truth of the matter was that I had actually been joking, had even talked from podiums about abusing my expense account and how it wasn't a big deal because even Bill Wilson did it. The truth of the matter was that every time my boss did something I didn't like, I spent some of his money. Every time I had to do something that I didn't want to be doing, I spent some of his money. I compensated myself for living in a way that was not okay with me, for being afraid to say no, for being afraid to take time off because they might find out that they didn't need me after all, for being afraid to not work overtime because there would be someone else who would do it. And I'm too old to find a new job, and my job skills are outdated. I discovered all these things about me that put me in a position to use his money. I was dishonest. And although I was able to lie to myself quite effectively throughout the entire affair that I had every reason to be doing what I was doing and that the money didn't mean anything to him anyway, in the aftermath of this confrontation, I learned things about money, particularly other people's money, which I have always been fuzzy around, that I couldn't have learned any other way. And for over a year, $450 a week got taken out of my paycheck. For over a year, there were people remoted into my computer watching everything I did. For over a year, I was on the phone with my sponsor doing 10 steps, crying out my fear. I can tell you today that I would do it all again. It was worth every minute of fear and pain. Today, I've gotten 2 raises. Today, my boss talks about me and says that I'm his best friend. Today is his 88th birthday, and I'm so excited to celebrate his life. I did something horrible, and I got a chance to face it head on and to grow in the process, to grow in a way that the God of my understanding gave me a lesson that I wouldn't have learned in any other fashion. It was horribly painful. It dragged on forever. Many of my inventories were, this will never end. I'll be afraid that I'm about to be fired and go to jail constantly. None of it happened. 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. A beautiful miracle bloomed
time
from my fuzziness around somebody else's money. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Amy Kay from Virginia. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share? Press star one. It's a great
I would like to share this morning.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Was that Larry G? And
yes.
Linda G.
It was.
Okay, very good. I have Larry G. and Linda G. Who else would like to share?
Jaylen S. from Idaho.
What was the first name?
Jaylen.
Could you spell that for me, please?
J-A-L-Y-N-N-E.
Jaylen, very good, very good. And you're from where? I'm sorry.
Idaho.
Idaho. And what was your initial?
F.
F. Perfect. Thank you so much, Jaylen. Who else would like to share? Okay, we'll go with that. Those three: Larry G., Linda G., and Jaylen F. from Idaho. Larry G., it's your 3 minutes. Start right now.
No, thank you, Don. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. Oh, my God, these shares this morning, they just get to my heart. Wow, they are so inspirational. The people have shared thus far about their 9 steps. You know, I never had to stand in front of a church or go to a court to a judge, but I had some pretty slimy things, and I'm so grateful to be among people who have done slimy things and have used this step to, you know, to make amends and clean up their lives. Like most of you who've been around a while, I've witnessed miracles of relationships coming together, families coming together, marriages, like this last person, that relationship with her boss was healed because of the steps, not because of me. You can't trust me. I can't trust myself. That's the truth. But what you can trust, as long as I'm engaged in this program and working the steps, you can trust the steps. I went to a man that I owed money, and I wrote a check out and went to make amends. And yes, I agree with the last caller. You don't want to do this alone. You definitely want the help of a sponsor who's been through this before. I went to this man, and I had this little script written out, and it was short. And I told him that I'm here to make amends for what reason. I had him the check, and he handed it back to me. He says, I don't want this check. He says, we're good. And I said to him, you don't understand. I have to do this, not for you, but for me. I'm in a program recovery, and if I don't do this, I will drink, or in that case, I will eat again. And I was dead serious. And thank God for sponsors. Thank God for you sponsors out there who have got more recovery than I have, who have made sure I understood that and made sure that I went there. It was not for them. It was for me. And that's how this program began, when Bill went to Bob, not to get Bob sober, but to get to Bill to stay sober. And on that day, I wanted that check back. You are you kidding me? Hell yeah, I wanted that check back. It was a substantial amount of money. I want to be checked back and be freed of the harm I did and be forgiven. Are you kidding me? I'm human. Yes, I want that check back. But I put that check back in a man's hands. Because I knew in my heart that it wasn't for him, it was for me. And if I didn't do that, there's a good chance I'm going to drink again, or I'm going to eat again. And real quickly, I have had eye surgery, and I've gotten real sloppy with my program in terms of my daily practice. And today I'm counting this as a new day in terms of, you know, making my outreach calls and calling my sponsor and resuming the step work. Because I will eat again. And God, I don't want that to happen. I think if that was to happen, I think I would drink again. I think it would just be so horrible to gain a couple hundred pounds. I wouldn't want to live. And so, yes, I will make these amends. And with that, I pass back to you, Dawn.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Linda G., it's your turn, followed by Jaylene F.
Thank you. I'm Linda G., a compulsive overeater and anorexic in Alabama, recovering one day at a time. I have a doctor's appointment coming up, and I want to tell him how hard these last 3 months have been on me. I've had to go up to 105, and it's been very difficult for me because I'm a recovering anorexic, and gaining that weight has been a major issue for me. And I can't admit that I've been dishonest with him, or I have to admit that I've been dishonest with him about gaining that weight, because I should have done it 3 months earlier. So I have to admit that I gained the weight to weigh in, and then I lost it and gained it back again, and then lost it and gained it back again, which is a typically anorexic behavior, because I couldn't cope with being that extra 4 pounds heavier. I just wasn't able to handle it. And then I got to the point where I realized I had to handle it to recover. And for 3 months, I've been on that path where I've been learning to cope with it. And it's been very difficult for me, but that's what I've been doing. And I wonder that the anorexia has been kicking me in the butt. and that I've been having a very difficult time with it. And it's going to be hard for me to admit to him that I've been dishonest with him because I'm afraid he'll discharge me for it. Because he told me I have to weigh a certain amount or he won't give me my medication. And I've weighed that amount every time I've gone in to see him because I gain that weight so that I'll get my medication. And I'm afraid of what he'll do. But I'm hoping that he'll accept what I have to say and treat me for the anorexia the way I deserve to be treated.
Time.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to share.
Thank you, Linda G. from Alabama. Jaylin F. from Idaho, it's your turn, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Jaylin F. from Idaho. Definitely a compulsive emotional eater and restrictor. I'm kind of new to this program. This is the first time I'm sharing in this group, so I kind of feel scared and nervous, but I'm going to the amends. I have kids and they kind of were hurt with my addiction, and it's been super hard to sit and to listen to my kids and their stories and how they felt and to hear the damage that I did to them. It was super hard to accept the pain I put them through and the situations I kind of forced them to deal with because of my own addictions and my own choices. But I went from a place where most of my kids hated me and didn't want anything to do with me to a place where most of them like me and like spending time with me and want to talk to me. And I know that through the grace of God that, you know, I've been able to come a long way. And I've got to remember I can't do it alone, because every time I try to do it alone, oh, that's where I fight all those cravings and I want to go back to the food. But I know that God's there, and I know that as I reach out and I get support and I build my support, that I'm not alone and that everything will be okay, and I'll continue to make the amends to the rest of my kids that still need it, and I'll continue to work on the relationships with the kids that are decent. So I just want to thank you for listening, and thanks everybody for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jaylin F. from Idaho, and great job sharing. I know it can be challenging for the first time, but beautiful job. We welcome everyone who would like to share on this paragraph. We're talking about page 79, the second paragraph that starts with, usually, however, other people are involved, through that one paragraph ending, if he had walked up to the judge and said, here I am. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Mo K, California.
I heard Mo K, California, but there was another voice in there. Who was that?
Polly Q, California.
Polly Q, California.
Bruce E, Florida.
Bruce E, Florida.
Becca R.
What was that first name? Was that Becca R?
Becca R.
I think it was Becca R.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Who else would like to share? All right. We'll go with that lineup. I have Mo K., Polly Q., Bruce E., and Becca R. Mo K., please share with us.
Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. This is Mo K. in California, a compulsive overeater recovering one day at a time. Thank you so much for your service in the meeting. On this, I was struck by two things. One is that other people are involved. I like that this program teaches me to get outside myself. And discovering my higher power, realizing I'm not the end-all, be-all. I don't have the solution. The disease lives in my head, and I have to get outside of myself and see a new way of living. And by working with my sponsor and making amends, it's amazing how life-changing it is, but I have to get outside of myself first. Secondly, I like how it talks about we're not to be the hasty and foolish martyr. Hasty and foolish, to me, also link back to my disease. When I've come to realize when I want to rush something, when I want it done now, when I've made up my mind, okay, I'll take action now, that's me and that's my will. Versus for me, my higher power's will is very calm. It's very quiet. It's very thoughtful. It's never rushed. It's never fear-based. And I needed this program to learn the difference because I know the answer is always in higher power's will. And I remember the first time I read this section, I was floored thinking that, oh, we have to just make it right and just do this. And as we'll come to see what's going to happen next, that there's always other solutions out there. It's not for me the black and white thinking of I either have to do this or this. I either have to be totally honest or not and live in the disease. Whereas I do have to be totally honest, but I found my higher power has so many answers in between when I turn it over. And I just have to trust and open up and be willing and list for that quiet voice that is all-knowing. And that's not me because I get to find out that I have a higher power and it's not me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mo K. from California. Polly Q., it's your turn to share, followed by Bruce E.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. It's Polly Q., recovered Northern California. And my amends was not this dramatic. You know, it wasn't a situation that, you know, I imagine a situation like this would have been very scary. But the truth of the matter is that I think most of the time the hardest amends are the living ones. And that I have to be working a pretty involved, spiritually based program. What I mean is that my first amends is to myself, to be honest, to try to make a daily connection with my higher power, to trust my higher power enough to guide me in the process, to trust talking to a sponsor, to other program people, and ask them, you know, what they might do, that because they've understood how it's done. So this process of making an amends, it was scary sometimes, but the truth of the matter is if I do it through the spiritual relationship I have with a higher power and I practice the program by speaking with my sponsor and going to others, then I have found that my higher power guides me with that, and my higher power will give me the strength, the courage, whatever it is that you want to call it, and the ideas that what is best. And to be honest, so freeing. It's so freeing. It's always scarier in my head than it ever has been in the practice of it. Of making an amends. And not only that, but in the process of doing it, I get to see the truth of it, the truth of my actions, because a lot of times all I really saw was the drama of it, not the truth of it, the spiritually based truth. So by the time I make the amends, I'm actually have already done some forgiveness of myself that will, that allow it. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Polly Q from California. Bruce E., it's your turn to share, followed by Becca R.
Okay. Hey, good morning. Thank you. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm recovered. Let's see. You know, it's this, this program is, you know, it's easy, but it's difficult. You know, I mean, it's so hard to be honest after being dishonest all my life, you know. And then I get in this and I got to be honest. So other people are always, in, yeah, I mean, usually, it says usually other people are involved, and that's usually the case. But I don't have to be the hasty and foolish mother either, you know. So who's involved here? Well, my family's involved, my wife and others, and you guys and my sponsor and myself, you know. And the truth really has got to be with myself. So I've been down in Dominican Republic working with Haitians, sugarcane cutters down there. And so got through that fine, got on the plane, got COVID coming back on the plane. And so, yeah, now, you know, I could be the foolish and hasty martyr here. And every time I take this medicine that they gave me that has a terrible aftertaste to it, Paxil, like that. yeah, you know, so I see my wife, you know, she's taking a bunch of food every time she takes the medicine, and she's pretty underweight anyway, she's not overweight, but, you know, well, I can, you know, I'm sick as a dog, I can do that same thing, you know, and I've done that. Now I got to be honest with my sponsor and you guys and everybody else, you know. So, foolish and hasty sponsor, martyr. We had commenced our way of life. He had commenced our way of life and secured a position, was getting his head above water. Yeah. And so I figure I'm probably in that category. I've commenced this way of life and secured a position and getting my head above water. But yet, you know, I still have to be honest. And man, that is so hard to be. And then after I'm honest, I feel a whole lot better, you know. So honesty, I can see where the thing comes in about honesty is the best policy. Really is. So, yeah, I'm happy for this program. I'm grateful that I'm, you know, not overeating today and that I'm doing pretty well. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Becca R., it's your turn to share.
Hey, good morning, guys. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. I have so appreciated the shares this morning, and I can so relate. And what came up for me was that little line in the promises that says, if we work for them, when it's talking about this will all come true, plus more, if we work for them. And I've been around 12-step meetings and 12-step programs and 12-step lifestyle for over 20 years. And I'm just thinking about, by staying, I have continued to have that opportunity, that platform to work for them. And 20 years ago, when I was a newcomer, I might not have had the ability, the means to make things right to this degree. But I've stuck around, and it's so beautiful to see the opportunities my higher power has given me to continue to set right my wrongs of the past. I don't know if I'll ever be wiped clean while I'm alive, at least. So I love that idea that as long as I continue to work, as long as I stay the course and stay in program and stay with you guys, and it's a great reminder as a sponsor to remember we all have our own path, and I can get so frustrated and tied up with my own perfectionism and expectations of sponsees, and it's like none of it's going to be wasted. Every minute will be used in God's economy. So thanks for letting me share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. And we have time for another person to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 79, that second paragraph? Go ahead.
Jeff A., California.
That paragraph, I'm sorry, paragraph starts with usually, however, other people are involved. If he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am," who would like to share on that paragraph? I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Jeff A.
Oh.
Go ahead, Jeff. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. I went too soon. I my parents are gone. I made amends to them, and XYZ, you know, some years ago, and I thought everything was fine. And then I started having strong feelings, especially my mom, the last month. And I'm like, but I thought this is done. And, I think what's really going on is God knew that I couldn't handle any of this stuff, but now he's starting to give me ideas that, okay, maybe there's a deeper amends to make. And I talked with my sponsor and I'm writing some things down and I'm going to go to a cemetery because where she's at is so on the other side of the country. And I'm scared, but I want that peace that I can't otherwise get. And anyways, that's kind of where I'm at right now. There's amends that I have to make, things I told I did that I didn't tell her about. And so, yeah. Anyways, so nine step stuff. All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. And did you want to let us know where you're calling from, Jeff?
California.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really a wonderful experience. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, and admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'm now going to ask everyone.